Take our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 is where we're going to be at. And this, of course, is Memorial Day weekend. And I love this time of year where we are, oh, you got Memorial Day. You have there next month, you have the, of course, Independence Day. And then, of course, in November, we have Veterans Day. And I love America, amen, and I love my country, and I'm so thankful that God allowed me to be an American, be born in this country, and live in this country. And I haven't traveled probably as much as some other people have, but I've traveled a little bit. I have been outside the borders of America, and let me tell you, when I got back to America, I literally, the first time, 15-year-old boy, we went on a missions trip to Mexico, and we went deep in the country, and you know, I got back, and the first thing I did, I remember this, as a 15-year-old boy, I got on the ground, and I kissed the ground. Being thankful for this country that God allowed me to live in. And we're blessed, folks. I hope you know that. I hope you understand that. And so Joshua chapter 4 is where we're going to be at this morning. And so if you find your place, if you'll stand with me as we read this passage together, we're going to read the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4. The scripture says, "And it came to pass, when all of the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they had lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And there they are unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan, till everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over." And let's pray. Lord, bless us today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truths that are contained in it. God, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning. Meet with us here. Holy Spirit of God, be active in our midst. We pray that you'd be in our service today. And Lord, I pray that you'd work on hearts. If someone is here today and they don't know he's their Savior, I pray that they'd accept you before it's too late. Bless us now, we pray. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Memorial Day. Memorial Day is an American holiday that's observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. Originally, it was known as Decoration Day, and originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in United States history and required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to these countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. Memorial Day originally honored only those who were lost while fighting in the Civil War. But during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th, but in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. The change went into effect in 1971. The same law also declared Memorial Day as a federal holiday. And as I mentioned earlier, I personally have been to Washington, D.C. numerous times. And two of the times I've been there was on Memorial Day weekend. And the purpose to go there was to greet veterans and thank them for their service to our country. And I remember the first time I went and seeing the different memorials there on our National Mall. I remember seeing the Washington Monument, the Jefferson and Lincoln memorials, the World War I and World War II memorials, the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam Wall. I'll never forget the wall of the 57,939 names etched in granite there as you walk past that war memorial. It's a very sobering thing. It's something that's I believe every American ought to witness and ought to see. I remember going to Arlington National Cemetery and its 624 acres of the white crosses where American heroes lie. I remember going to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and watching there in respect as you're quiet, watching the soldier march back and forth and as they guard that tomb. And in fact, they're so precise, they're so serious about what they do. And in fact, you ought to read about what it takes to even become a guard to guard that. And they take their job very seriously. And as I went there and I looked at those memorials and I thought about the price that was paid for me to be an American, and I reflected and I thought, and you know what, that's why they're there. That's why they're called memorials. So we'll go there and they'll prod certain things in our mind that we'll never forget. And I believe as Americans, there's things we ought to never forget. We ought to never forget the price that was paid for us to live in this great country and the freedoms that we so enjoy. But I also believe as Christians, there's some things that we should never forget also. In our text we read today, as the nation of Israel was crossing into Jordan, getting ready to go in and claim the promised land. As they crossed over, God commanded Joshua to do something that may at first seem kind of strange, something kind of odd. He told him, as of course God miraculously parted the Jordan River so they could cross over. And he said, when you're crossing over, I want you to take out of the river 12 stones. And I want you to carry them over, and I want you to set them up on the bank here. And I want you to, one stone in reference to the 12 different tribes. I want you to set them up, and I want you to set them up specifically, the Bible says, for a memorial. So that when you see these stones, your children see these stones, you can tell them all the great things that I, as your God, has done for you. I don't want them to forget the price that was paid for them to come into this land and the great things that I did for them in order for them to have what they have. And so even God in the Bible was about setting up memorials. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, things God doesn't want for us to forget. Things God doesn't want for us to forget. Now, we as human beings, we all have the same thing in common in the fact that we have faulty memories, right? Okay? In fact, a lot of times, if I don't write things down, I forget them. All right? It takes me a little bit to learn different things. Now, I'm particularly not real great at, and I've got to work at it, and I'm working on it, is sometimes remembering people's names. All right? Just for example, just a while ago, all right? And Mariah back here, I called her Miranda. And her name's Mariah, not Miranda. But she said, hey, don't sweat it. At my wedding, the preacher did the same thing. And so I'm like, oh, man, it must be a preacher thing. And but no, I got to on purpose do something when I meet people, because I meet a lot of people, to lock in people's names, all right? So we all have faulty memories, don't we? Okay, yesterday my dad's back in the hospital, and I was the nurse came in, and she was trying to get something, and she asked my dad his birthday, or she asked me my dad's birthday, and I'm like, oh man, this isn't good. And I had no idea what year my dad was born in. That's horrible, isn't it? Right? And I even gave her the wrong date. Now I do know my dad's birthday, but I set out the wrong date. And so y'all understand, right? We all have faulty memories. Unless we write stuff down, unless we make notes of something, we forget. Well, God knew that about us, okay? And so God understands, as human beings, we tend to be forgetful, but there's certain things God says that I don't want you to forget, okay? And I did a study this week through the Bible, some things that God specifically told us to remember. And I'm not going to give all the things I learned this week to you, but I'm just going to give you three of them, all right? Three things that God does not want for us to forget, all right? Number one, He does not want us to forget the place He brought us from. the place He brought us from. You're there in Joshua. I want you to flip back a few pages to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. Of course, Exodus is the story where God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And He delivered them from over 400 years of bondage. There in Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. And Moses said unto the people. Here it is. You see the three-word phrase right there? Remember this day. Hear what He said? Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. You don't have to turn there, but in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says, And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8, Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You know what God told him? He says, listen, as you go through your journeys, as you travel through the wilderness, as you go claim the promised land, I want you to remember the place I brought you from. And just as God brought them through the wilderness and brought them into that land of promise, He always was constantly reminding them about the place they had come from. By the way, you know what? Where was the place they had come from? You know what it was? It was Egypt. And by the way, you know what Egypt was? Egypt was a place of bondage, a place of slavery, a place of taskmasters, a place of cruelty, a place of working for somebody else, a place of murdering of their children. Listen, that's what Egypt was a picture of, all right? The Bible says that when they were in Egypt, that the Egyptians made them serve with rigor. It talks about their bondage. It was bitter, and they had to work hard. And listen, it wasn't a place where, you know what, as the children of Israel, God wanted them to be. Egypt was a place of no hope, of no peace, of no freedom, of no happiness, of no future. It's no wonder God wanted them to never forget the place He had brought them from. How about it, Christian? Let me ask you this morning. Amen. Have you let slip from memory? Does it not mean much to you, the place God brought you from? Amen. You say, well, I was never in Egypt. I was never in bondage. I was never a slave. I never had a taskmaster over me. Oh, but God, that's contrary to the truth. Amen. Here's what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Hey, let me remind you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're saved and you were a Christian, you weren't always that way. You weren't born saved. You weren't born a Christian. And you know where you were at before God reached down and saved your soul? You were in bondage to the devil. You were in bondage to the world. And God in His mercy reached down and He saved you out of that. Amen. I love these verses right here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul's talking to the church of Corinth. He says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteresses, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says, listen, these are the bad elements of society, the bad elements of life. And listen, that's not what Christians are. Those aren't the people that are going to heaven. But listen to what he says here. And such were some of you. Did you hear what he said? He says, yeah, all those things I just named, all those things when I named them, you're like, ew, yeah, that? Oh, yeah, that. You know what Paul said? And such were some of you. Amen? And you know what? That's the case, isn't it? Such were some of us. But let me finish reading the verse here. I love it. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Amen? Praise God for where He brought us out of. When I was a young teenager, around 13 years old, I went to a youth rally and I heard an evangelist preach. His name was Jim Delasmith. I'll never forget Brother Delasmith and his testimony. He talked about in his life where God had brought him from, and he called his testimony this. He called it From Dope to Hope. He told about the story of how, as a young man, He tried marijuana for the first time and then began lacing it with other drugs to experience greater highs. Of course, with the drug life comes certain associations, and he went from drug user to drug dealer. As his network increased, he began to ride a motorcycle, and Jim Delasmith became the founder and president of the St. Louis chapter of the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. Not the type of person you want your kids to be around, all right? As his life of crime and mayhem continued, one thing also continued: the prayers and persistence of his saved mother. She would constantly have him over for coffee and ask him to come to church with her. Over and over again, he would leave her house angry, fire up his chopped Harley, and ride off and do his drug dealing, motorcycle gang terrorizing life. But one thing he could never drown out with the drugs and booze was the love of a mama who wanted to see her son accept the Lord. Finally, after almost tricking him into coming to church with her, he stepped into the church house for the first time. And you know what he heard? He heard a man of God get up, and he heard the Bible preached for the first time, and he heard a message about salvation. Under great Holy Ghost conviction, he walked the aisle and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then he began traveling the country preaching and giving his testimony. And he died an old man, an evangelist, who traveled the country telling the folks everywhere about his testimony from dope to hope, from the place God had brought him from. Now, you know what? You may have never been a drug dealer like Jim Delasmith. You may have never belonged to the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang, but one thing I can guarantee you, it took just as much grace to save you, it took just as much grace to save me, a kid that grew up in a Christian home, as it did for a stinking heathen sinner like Jim Delasmith. And no matter what your background, listen, God never wants you to forget the place He brought you from. Amen? I hope you think back and remember the day you were saved. I hope it never gets old. I hope it never becomes same old, same old. Yeah, I've been there, done that type of attitude. Hey, listen, think about it. Rejoice in it. Praise the Lord from the place He brought you from. Amen? And God says, I don't want you to ever forget where I brought you from. Number two, there's something else as you read through the Scripture that God doesn't want His people to forget. And that's this: the prominence of His commands. Number one, the place He brought you from. Number two, the prominence of His commands. You're there in the Old Testament. Flip back a couple pages or forward a couple pages to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Now I want you to see something here that God commanded for His people that He wanted for them to do. Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 37. Here's what the Scripture says: "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they may put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." You know, see, God had some commands for His people as they come out of Egypt, as they were getting ready to go in and possess this new land of promise that God promised to give them. He said, here's one thing I want you to do. On your garments, I want you to make sure that on the fringe of your garments that you always have a ribbon of blue. And the reason I want that ribbon of blue on the fringe of your garments is so that every time you look at that, you remember something. You remember who you are. You remember, as we just talked about, where I brought you from. But I specifically want it on your garments so you will remember to do the commands that I have given you. Now, I know in the day and age we're living in, God has a command for us to sew blue fringes on our clothes. But let me say this: God's attitude about His commands having prominence in our lives has not changed. Listen, they were important then, and they are just as important now. Last time I checked, folks, they're called the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Okay? You know what? Too many Christians want to treat the Word of God and the commands of the Bible like a buffet. They want to pick and choose what they like and ignore things, here it is, they don't agree with. How many times I hear that? Well, I just don't agree with that. Well, folks, listen to me. If the Bible says something to do or not to do, and you disagree with what the Bible says, you're right, and you're wrong, and the Bible's right. Amen? If I have an opinion different from the Bible, guess what? God's right, and I'm wrong. Okay? And listen, it's time as Christians we get back to the fact that God's commands ought to have prominence in our lives today. Why is the world and a lot of Christianity in a mess today? You know why? Because we don't remember or we don't like to think about the fact that God commands us to live a certain way in the Bible. Okay? Listen to me, folks. The Bible is not some archaic book that we have sitting on a coffee table somewhere just because we're Christians. Okay? Listen, God gave us the Word of God. God gave us the Scripture so we can apply it to our lives and obey what it says. Obey what it says. Listen to me, folks. The Bible is very practical in its instruction. Very practical, okay? And again, it's not about my opinion. It's not about your opinion. It's about thus saith the Lord, all right? And God wants us as Christians to never forget that His commands ought to have prominence in our lives, amen? Listen, you need to think about it. You need to remember it. You need to not forget it. One of these days when we stand before Him, and I talk about this often, I talk about that great day at the judgment seat of Christ where as Christians we'll stand to give an account of our stewardship. Again, if you're saved, you're not there to be judged for your sins. Amen? Those sins were judged upon Jesus Christ when He died on that cross some 2,000 years ago. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ onto your eternal record of sin. So when God looks at you and your sin, and your soul, if you've been saved, you're covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Amen. Now, I just gave you a lot of doctrine right there. You may not understand everything I just said, but let me just say this. If you're saved, you ought to rejoice in that fact, all right? And so when we stand before Him at that great judgment seat of Christ, we're not standing to give an account of our sin, but we will stand to give an account of our stewardship. Let me just say this, church. When you stand and look Jesus Christ eyeball to eyeball, and by the way, the Bible says that every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess, we will stand before Him, amen? You're going to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, that day, and He calls you into account of your stewardship, what you did with your Christian life, what you did with the commands were found in the Scripture, guess what? You're not going to be able to say, well, God, I forgot. You think God's going to accept that as an excuse, folks? Let's be honest now, okay? Just us this morning, all right? Just the home crowd, let's be honest, all right? Do you think when we stand before the Lord, well, God, I just didn't really think that's what the Bible meant. You think that's going to fly with God? Let me tell you, folks, it's not, amen? We as Christians need to get serious about what the Bible says and start obeying its commands, amen? We have an obligation as Christians to obey the Word of God. So God says for us, all right, I don't want you to forget the place I brought you from, but I don't want you to forget the prominence of my commands. And then let me give you this morning. The third thing God doesn't want us to forget, and man, I pray this sinks down in your heart this morning. How about this? The price that was paid. The price that was paid. I want you to flip in your Bibles. I want you to go to the New Testament now, to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Now, we were scheduled, if you looked on our church calendar, we were scheduled to have communion this morning. But because a lot of our folks are out of town and they weren't here, we're going to reschedule our communion service. But we've already had one. We had our first one back in January, and we'll have our second one here in the next couple weeks. But the purpose of the communion service, the reason Jesus Christ instituted communion for the church is the fact so it would be a memorial of what He did for us. All right, you there in 1 Corinthians? And let me just read just a couple of verses. I won't read through the whole part here, but here's what He says in verse 24 and 25. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And when He had given thanks, He brake it, speaking of the unleavened bread. And He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Now look at this next phrase. This do in remembrance of me. Again in verse 25, after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it. Here it is again. In remembrance of me. And a lot of times you've been in a church before and they have a communion table sitting down front. etched on the front of that communion table are those words, "This do in remembrance of me." And let me say this, Christian. There's not too many problems in your life that couldn't be solved, that our perspective couldn't be changed on, if we'd only take the time to remember what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Remember what was done in order for us to have our sins washed white as snow. Remember what was done to have our sins removed as far as the east is from the west. Remember what was done in order for God to take our sins and bury them in the depths of the sea. How about it, Christian? When's the last time you took time to think about what Jesus did for you? When's the last time you went back in your mind's eye and you saw what Jesus did to make it possible for us to be called the sons of God? When's the last time you saw Him kneeling in that garden, sweating those great drops of blood? When was the last time you saw Him standing alone as all those that were close to Him fled as He was led away to be crucified? When's the last time you thought about Him being buffeted by those Roman soldiers as they smote Him in the face and mocked Him by trying to ask who smote Him, to prophesy who smote Him? When's the last time you saw your Savior spat upon? When's the last time you saw His beard being plucked from His face, the crown of thorns being beaten to His brow? When's the last time you thought about, in your mind's eye, His back, His body that was striped with that Roman cat of nine tails? When's the last time you thought about the trip up Calvary's road where He bore His cross? When He got to Calvary, how He willingly laid out His hands and His feet as the soldiers drove the spikes through? When's the last time you thought about as that cross was dropped into the hole and the Bible says His body came out of joint as He hung suspended between heaven and earth? When's the last time you saw Him hanging on the cross, trying to push up off those nails, just struggling to take a breath? When's the last time in your mind eye you thought about, you remembered how God turned out the lights, and for 3 hours He judged our sin upon His own Son as He hung and He died and He suffered on the cross of Calvary? When's the last time you thought about as Jesus, right before He died, He lifted up and He said, "It is finished." What was finished? The payment of your sin, the payment of my sin was finished. Amen. When's the last time in your mind's eye you thought about the price that was paid? I know, right? We're all busy. I mean, come on. I mean, we all have life to live. We all have this to do, that to do. I mean, you know, we're all so busy thinking about who liked us last on Facebook. We keep thinking about the person who looked at us wrong when we were in Walmart. I mean, it's all about the next place. It's all about our lives, our desires, our needs. Hey, listen, we as Americans are just too busy to take the time to think about our Savior and what He wants for our lives. You know, I think it's interesting, and we see proof of this in John chapter 20, that after Jesus died on the cross, and after He arose from the grave and He appeared to His disciples in His glorified body. You know, think about this for a minute. There were still some things that remained to remind us of what He did for us on the cross. Okay? Even in His glorified body, He looked at Thomas. Remember what Thomas said? He says, "Unless I see the prints in His hands and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." Remember when Jesus appeared to Thomas in His glorified body, He said, "Hey Thomas, here they are right here. You can't believe without seeing? Well, now you see. Here's the prints, touch Him. Here's the scar in my side, put your hand in it." Think about that for a minute, folks. You know what that means? That for all eternity, guess what's still going to be on the hands? Guess what's still going to be on the side? The scars of Calvary are going to still be there. Why is that? Why do you think Jesus Christ, even in His glorified form, would still have the scars? You know why? So that for all eternity, when we're spending time with Him in heaven, when we're walking up and down the golden streets, when we're fellowshipping with our Savior, when we look over, maybe we take His hand, maybe we give Him a hug, and we look and we see the scars. Because we never forget the price that He paid for us on the cross. How about it, Christian? When's the last time you thought about it? When's the last time one iota of a moment was spent remembering what Jesus did for you? That's why God says, "You know what? I don't want you to forget. There's some things you can't afford to forget." All right? How about it, Christian? You know what I found out in my life? I think about the things that are important to me. Right? I mean, is that how we all do? The things that are important to us are what we think about. The things that, you know, that we enjoy, we like doing, are what dominates our time thinking. Let me encourage you. Spend some time thinking about these things. Don't forget them. Think about the place He brought you from. Think about it. Think about, you know what? The life that could have been had you not met Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Think about it. Think about where He brought you from. Think about the prominence of His commands that ought to be in our life. I mean, think about the things the Bible says we ought to do. Think about those things. You ought to replay that over and over. That's why it's important you spend time in the Scripture, that you read the Bible, that you come to church every time the doors are open. Why? So you can know what God expects from you. That's why. The prominence of His commands. And please never forget the price that was paid. This Memorial Day, people are going to be all over the country looking at, remembering different memorials about what our soldiers and our military has done to purchase the price of our country. And by the way, well they should, amen? Well they should. We owe those folk, no doubt, our respect. We owe them, no doubt, our time. We owe them, no doubt, taking the time to remember the price that was paid for us. But you know what? How about it, Christian? Let's not remember, let's not forget about, let's think about, let's remember the price that was paid for our salvation, amen? Let's think about that. And let's remember, as Christians, those things, and let us never forget. Why? Because these are the things God wants us always to remember. Let's pray.